What's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of the Premier League podcast here on FanRag Sports. I'm your host, Sebastian Noren. With me is Pauly Questel and Elliot Niblock. We know that the Premier League season is over, although there's still a lot of soccer to talk about. World Cup is a week away, further away than what Pauly had originally thought.
Things predicted.
Predicted. He's predicted. No, that than he thought. So we got about roughly 2 weeks before we kick off. But we got to talk about what happened in the Champions League final between Real Madrid and Liverpool, and then the promotion playoff between Fulham and Aston Villa, and then there's some U.S. men's national team stuff to talk about. And, of course, now since the domestic seasons are over, that means Silla season is back. We got players moving. We got wheeling and dealing. I love it. Elliot hates it.
We have like one player moved.
So far.
Yeah, but the transfer window is not open for anybody outside of England.
Yeah, but there's still a lot of talk. There's a lot of rumors.
That's what Seb loves and I hate.
Yes, exactly.
Right. So, I'm kind of with you on this, Elliot. Well, there's certain rumors that I can see coming to fruition and that are worth monitoring, and I can name you two off the top of my head, and that's it. And the rest of them are all garbage.
Yeah, well, we'll sift through the garbage and what may or may not be.
It sort of depends on what you read, of course. But let's start with the Champions League final. Real Madrid beating Liverpool, and not a very good night for Loris Karius in the Liverpool net. Was that like
you could say that again?
I was gonna say, man of the match for understatement of the show.
I was gonna ask you, was that like the poorest performance of a goalkeeper in a Champions League final?
I can't think of it.
Yeah, well, here's the problem: is I haven't seen enough Champions League finals to really definitively make that call. The first one I ever saw was United against Barcelona. And I guess I've seen all of them since then. And obviously nothing was that bad. But I don't even remember a lot of them. They were so many times I just kind of tuned them out. Like I wasn't really paying attention to them. Like, but yeah, obviously, that was really bad. And so I'm going to bring up what I brought up to my friend. I wouldn't bring this up to my friend who's a Liverpool fan because I did genuinely feel bad. And I genuinely felt bad for two reasons. One, I wasn't going to rub salt in the wound because that Karius performance was so bad. Two is even as a quote-unquote kind of neutral person but definitely didn't want to see Liverpool win, I was really annoyed at that scumbag Sergio Ramos ruining the game for me.
With the Salah injury there, yeah.
Yes, because what he did was intentional and it took Mo Salah out of the game and that just ruined the game. And yeah, if I was a Real fan,
it was still a comparatively exciting game despite that moving forward. But I agree with you. I mean, I was furious because I was like, they were on top for a lot of the first 15 minutes exciting. And then Sergio Ramos
like 15 minutes in
what he does.
It was like 15 minutes in and they had something like 8 shots already and they had one for the rest of the half.
Yes,
they had eight shots, but like now none of them were really that good. And and Liverpool were definitely I don't know if I would say the better side, but they were the side controlling the game before that injury. And I don't know if they were, you know, they didn't really have like amazing scoring opportunities, but it would have been a really, like, it didn't look like Real Madrid didn't know what to do and couldn't handle them. It just looked like Liverpool had control of the game. And it would have been a very interesting match going forward had Salah remained in the game, because who knows what would have happened in this, especially because you know Gareth Bale's coming on. Like, it's not like Gareth Bale came on because Salah got hurt. Like, no. You know he's coming on with a half hour to go in a tie game. And it would have been very interesting to see how that game played out. I still think Real would have won, but
yeah, but it would have been more. It would have been more interesting, like you're saying.
Much more interesting game.
And it sort of took a little bit of the wind out of Liverpool's sails too. I mean, because he's been one of the most informed players here all season, pretty much.
It took everything out of the sails, and to see a player going off in tears you know, as a human, I hate that. Especially because, look, yeah. I wish the worst to happen to Liverpool in every situation. And and I, as a fan, I am not I am not shedding any tears that Liverpool lost their best player for this game and they lost the game. As a human, I am upset that, you know, Mo Salah had to leave this game after having an unbelievable season and working so hard. And he gets to the final and he has to leave. But more so, in any other year, I wouldn't be that upset.
No, it's extra because it's a World Cup year. And he was
exactly.
He was probably thinking like, oh, shit, there goes my World Cup.
Exactly. It kills me when this happens to people. And like, it kills me when people get red cards in the World Cup. Like when when someone gets a red card in like a 1-1 game in the 58th minute of the not in the semis, the first game. You know, when you're a team that like we're probably gonna finish third, but maybe we could finish second, and so and like you need that one result to go your way in like one of the games, and someone on your team gets a red card in a 1-1 game in the first game of the World Cup in the 58th minute, and you gotta now play 32 minutes with 10 men, and he's going to miss the next game. And it's like, that could be his World Cup, and that could be the team's World Cup.
Well, and I, even though I don't think they had a prayer of progressing out of their group, but 8 years ago, I remember the South Africa keeper got a red card, and I think the second match, and I was like, oh, that's just devastating. Like, you guys were just,
They drew Mexico in the opening game. They did have a prayer. That was the thing. And France was in their group, and France imploded.
Yeah. Like, oh, that's right.
They very much had a prayer, and that's exactly what happened. He got a red card, and that ruined it.
Yep. I mean, something that almost ruined the game before it even started was that performance by Dua Lipa. Am I saying that correct?
I don't. I walked in and turned on the TV at 2:42 for the 2:45 game, expecting to see them come out of the tunnel, and oh my God, that was. I didn't know what was happening, but it was bad.
It was. Horrible.
The bar I was at didn't have the volume on, but I was particularly impressed by the fact that it looked like she was wearing like hologram versions of granny panties, and I was like, oh, this is okay, this is interesting.
But having the two cello players play the anthem as they walked out,
that was cool,
top notch. Yes, that was top notch. Also, Elliot, to go back onto that thing, Mexico in 2010, Mexico had 4 points. South Africa had 4 points. Mexico went through on goal differential. So, that absolutely cost them the World Cup, and it's exactly what I hate seeing. But then again, part of the game. But as a human, I hate it.
Well, yeah. No, I mean, I think that anybody who is even a casual fan of the sport who is neutral in this game has to be – I don't know if horrified is the right word, but certainly indignant about what Ramos did. But I'm almost like, you know, the death threats from Liverpool supporters aside, which have also gone to Karius, we should note.
Yeah.
Like, you know, overall in the media, I'm almost surprised by how little vitriol there's been, because it just seems like, oh yeah, we know Ramos. We know Ramos is just a massive bastard.
And everybody's just
on brand.
Everybody's like posting YouTube compilations of like, here's what Ramos has done. It's like, yeah, we know he's a scumbag. And it's just, who was it? There's a player. Oh, it's like Diego Costa. Like how everybody knows he's just a massive scumbag. He's never been sent off in his life though. Like, or he's got like one red card now. But, like,
that's not
two
true.
Years
yeah,
ago,
he got sent off against Arsenal.
Right. Like, but that was his first red card of his career. Like, it's just like certain players, like, it's just like, oh yeah, we're in hockey. How, you know, like look at the Stanley Cup Finals right now. Tom Wilson. Everybody knows he's a scumbag, but he's never been suspended in the regular season. And it's like, yeah, but all he does is do cheap shots in the playoffs.
And he also the dude managed to get suspended twice in preseason. I mean, yeah, yep.
That's like getting a straight red and then arguing it in the Community Shield.
Yeah, pretty much.
No, Elliot, it's not, because the Community Shield actually means more than a preseason NHL game.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But so what I wanted to say though, like once you get past that part of this game, then I'm not going to say that this is Karius' fault.
No, but he sure didn't help.
It sure didn't help. And I understand, like at the end of the day, you know, he made two baffling errors and you lost 3-1, and take away those two errors and it's a different story, because in theory it's 1-1, but having said that, the opening goal woke Liverpool. It didn't necessarily wake Liverpool up, but they responded well. In a situation where teams would normally drop their heads.
Well, because it seemed they already had their moment of dropping their heads, right? Like that was what we were talking about. As soon as Salah went off, then they were totally deflated. But then it was surprising in some sense that they gave you the response that you wanted after they went down a goal. But maybe you can make an argument like, okay, this is a team that's gone down a goal before. Whereas there's not a team that's like, oh God, we just lost Salah to a terrible injury and had to deal with that.
Yeah, that's true. So, and I mean, that wasn't those weren't the only tears we saw. We saw Donny Carvajal go off too in his 37th minute, and he probably thought that his World Cup will not be.
But Liverpool, their first goal was just like LOL funny, like how you managed to throw that ball out.
Like, that's what I do on FIFA sometimes when I'm just used to playing it out the back against the computer and then remember I'm playing against a human and I'm like, oh, shit. But, I'm not a multimillionaire.
FIFA, even on FIFA, they don't let you as a striker get that close to the goalie that you can throw your foot out there.
Yeah.
They don't even let you do that. Like, if you want to roll it out to your if you're standing close by to your teammate and you want to roll it out to him, you could do that. The only time that you'll get into trouble is if, like, you're standing far away from the guy and there's literally a player on the other team directly in between you and the ball or you and the player. So that first one was LOL funny. But here's really ultimately what it reminded me of. In 2015, this might be lost on a lot of people, this comparison, but in 2015, when the Mets went to the World Series, they went to the World Series behind some of the worst infield defense you will ever see. Their shortstop was Wilmer Flores, who can't play shortstop, and they have not used him at shortstop since 2015. And their second baseman was Daniel Murphy, who we know can hit, but really can't play anywhere in the field. And the fact that like this was a formidable combination up the middle was astonishing. Then in the playoffs, and that was a weakness that everybody knew was there. But then you looked at the pitching and you said, okay, but the pitching's so good. And then they had Yoenis Cespedes, who was raking home runs throughout the second half of the season. And then in the playoffs, Daniel Murphy caught fire and you couldn't get him out. And you kind of just forgot that, like, their defense up the middle is Daniel Murphy and Wilmer Flores. And that's Liverpool. We've all known that not just their defense is bad, but goalkeeper is a huge issue for them. And then eventually you just said, okay, but like, look at the way that they attack and they press, and then they have Mo Salah scoring 40 goals and Virgil van Dijk is coming and he's shored up the defense. And there's all these okay, this is a weakness, but they have this. These things tend, like, your ultimate weakness tends to rear its ugly head at the worst time.
Yeah.
And for the Mets, like, they, in game five, the game they ultimately lost in the bottom of the ninth, Kansas City had just tied the game. The Mets had a chance to get out of the inning. And I don't know if it was the ninth or the tenth, but whatever it was, Daniel Murphy made a glaring error at second base. And it was an error that, like, everybody knew was coming. We had joked about it all season long. Like, wow, the Mets are on a great run right now. They'll get to the World Series and they're going to lose because of a Daniel Murphy error at second base. And that's exactly what happened. And that's pretty much what happened to Liverpool is, you've put Band-Aids on your goalkeeper situation, but eventually that's going to rear its ugly head. And that's exactly what happened. The first goal, though, that's not Karius being bad. That's just like, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah,
That third goal, man.
Yeah, but in between that, we had a phenomenal goal. Gareth Bale scoring twice here in the 3-1 win for Real. And, that was one of the prettier goals we've seen in a Champions League final.
Oh, it was beautiful. And if nothing else, at least if Real Madrid had to win this game, at least Gareth Bale wasn't able to make Cristiano Ronaldo a little sad.
No,
he made him a lot sad. Who deserves MVP of this game? You know who deserves MVP of this game? If you remember, with 30 seconds left in injury time, Ronaldo had a defender one-on-one in the box, and he was very much trying to score.
Oh, yeah, the guy who ran in.
And a fan ran on the field, and the ref blew it dead.
Yep.
And that fan deserves the MVP.
He's like, I don't want to see that shirt come off.
I'm still curious as to like who that was. Have either of you looked into that or read anything about that?
Because I'm surprised that it hasn't even become a thing.
Yeah. Oh God.
I have an app on my phone where I can like clip little things that were on TV, like 30-second clips. So I have the Mandzukic goal from last Champions League final that tied it up at one. And my friend sent a text or something about like is that like a legacy goal, or are we gonna remember that goal? Or are we gonna forget it? And I immediately pulled up that Mandzukic goal just to be like, which one was better? And I was like, all right, yeah, no, the Bale one was better, but like we already forgot about the Mandzukic goal.
Yeah.
Like
I think that's partly because of Mandzukic.
I forgot that he took it off of his. I don't think it's partly because of Mandzukic. I think it's mostly because they lost 4-1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when Gareth Bale took that bicycle kick, I went, oh my God. Like everybody else said Ronaldo and his bicycle kick against Juventus. I went Mandzukic in the final last year because I thought Mandzukic just bicycled it. Then I watched it again and I went, oh my God, he took it off of his chest. Like what he did was incredible. And that Bale one was not just so perfectly struck, like he chipped him.
Yep.
He chipped Karius.
No, that's true. Yeah, very.
Like you will never get a better goal than that.
Yeah. No, very good for Bale there coming in off the bench. And
did you guys see his interview afterwards? He's gone.
We'll talk about that later in the show because I don't know if he is.
Yeah, let's take a break here real quick. We'll be right back and we'll discuss Bale and then we'll get into the promotion playoff. So stick around. Okay, we're back. Before the break, we were talking Gareth Bale. Is he going to stay at Real Madrid or is he leaving? I think he's gone. I think he doesn't feel appreciated.
Oh, clearly.
Oh, no, he does not at all. But where is he going?
There's
Manchester United.
There's a team called Manchester United, and then there's another team called Tottenham that he used to play for.
He's not going to Tottenham. That's
Tottenham can't afford him unless they sell him.
Yeah, it's not even that. They can't afford his wages. They can't afford his wages plus the price plus other players that they need to bring in. Because what Tottenham need right now is depth. And yes, Gareth Bale would do wonders for Tottenham, but they can't afford him. Although I've read a report that says he'd be willing to work with them on the wages, but I found that report from Tottenham fans who were like, damn, these reports give me so much hope, but we're not signing Bale.
Well,
they're not signing.
Can't you do that thing where who's the jersey sponsor for Spurs?
I don't know.
Some terrible company.
Let's see here.
Well, they're all terrible.
No, they're not.
Oh, yeah. Well, whatever. It's okay. We don't need to get into critiques of capitalism. We're talking about football here.
Let's see here. Do. I'm hearing Chewbacca.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I'm reading a report and that ad popped up.
Okay, it looks like it's Nike. So.
Oh, it used to be Under Armour.
So, I mean, you could do something there. I mean, maybe it is Under Armour. I should definitely look this up.
The reports were that, you know, like after taxes and stuff, like Bale only really sees 200 grand a week from Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And it's his endorsements and everything. That take them to like 500, but they are club related endorsements.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you could strike up a deal there.
They are club related endorsements. I just, you know, to say like, oh, because we're going to give Harry Kane 200K a week, we can give Gareth Bale 200K a week. And because he only sees 200K a week after taxes at Real, like he'd make that move. It's like, well, no, because now he just has to pay taxes on it, like to England.
Well, I don't think that it's a move. It's romantic, right, from a Spurs point of view. Of course it is. And I'm sure that there's part of Gareth Bale that wishes he could go back there, but it's just not one that I think makes sense for the club financially, and it doesn't even really make sense for them moving forward, even though they do need to add depth. Like, if he goes back to England, I think that he's going to Manchester United.
Well, it is a romantic thing, but Tottenham have also made this huge bravado of saying we have money and we are willing to let Pochettino spend it. They have a manager that they trust, and having Gareth Bale and Harry Kane on the team would be big, unless you go with the angle of if the if like they kind of go with the angle of, oh, we signed Gareth Bale to be the guy that wins us the league rather than Harry Kane, that could cause issues with Harry Kane.
Whatever.
They all also right. have that buyback clause. So they are very much in play. In that they have the right to match any offer. Like, if Real Madrid accept an offer from United, Tottenham can say, we're going to make the same offer, and Real have to take that.
Yeah.
Because there is a buyback clause. The other... Yeah.
Go on.
Like you said, you know, Manchester United seem like the optimal place. They have outbid Real Madrid. They did outbid Real Madrid for Bale the first time that Bale was... When Bale did sign. They offered him more money, and he turned them down and went to Real. It's now reported that they are his preferred destination, but it's also reported that he doesn't really want to go there either.
When Mourinho is there, I can understand that. Yes. Yeah.
That's totally literally the reason that. He is concerned. There's actually two reasons here. He's concerned about the style of play, of football that Mourinho plays, which is a very fair
concern.
Fair concern. Especially because it's like, what are you going to do? Like, throw me on the right wing and, like, have Sanchez on the left wing? Like, that would work worse than Real Madrid, because that would be Bale and Ronaldo, but neither player as good as Ronaldo and Bale.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
Yes.
And your striker not as good as Benzema, and your midfielder's probably not as good as Modric, or maybe they are, but, like, your style of play is just completely different and everything goes haywire. The other reason is Bale is represented by the same company that represents another Southampton left back by the name of Luke Shaw, and they are very much not happy with how Jose Mourinho has treated Luke Shaw, and they very much do not want Jose Mourinho to be in charge of Gareth Bale, and that could be a huge thing. So it becomes a big thing of, he kind of wants to leave Real Madrid, but he doesn't really want to play for Jose Mourinho, but Manchester United are the only team not named Manchester City that can afford him, but Manchester City aren't interested in him. Manchester United have not been that, like, I've read a lot of reports that are just like, oh, they're, like, interested in Bale, but for the right price, because they did just spend all this money on Sanchez, which is another reason why you shouldn't have signed Sanchez.
Yeah.
And then ultimately there's the Tottenham thing, but they really can't afford him. So, I just feel like this is just the fifth consecutive summer that I'm getting wrapped up in Gareth Bale's coming to Manchester United rumors.
Well, I mean, they could also, because there's been a lot of talk now about Toby Alderweireld leaving Spurs for United.
Oh, that's a done deal. That's a done deal. He's old enough that Mourinho would take him.
And you know that they're going to have to pay a premium for him, even though he only has a year left on his contract. So
it's a £55 million deal. Yeah. That's fine.
And then you put that money towards Bale.
Worth it, but he is old. He is old as hell.
How is old as hell?
I mean, he's 29. He'll be 30.
Come on.
It's right up Jose Mourinho's wheelhouse. That's why it's a done deal. Yeah. It's exactly up Mourinho's wheelhouse.
Hmm. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Let's.
I did just see though that United could get pipped by Bayern Munich, who could offer Jordi Alaba in a swap. And, I mean, they would have to pay a lot, and I don't know if Germany could afford that, but I wouldn't be shocked.
I mean,
that one could be interesting. The article did say that it's being reported by a paper who's famous for their outlandish transfer things, but if they snuck in there, that would not shock me.
I mean, that would be a great move for them. I mean, you know.
Yeah, anybody who gets Gareth Bale is a great move.
Yeah, but I mean, because we've seen them try to rely on Robin and Ribery for way too many years.
Right, they're trying to bolster their wings. Although, but here's the thing, like, giving up Jordi Alba is a big...
Yes.
Big give.
That's true. Well, anything else from the Champions League that we want
to... Well, okay, I have one other Champions League transfer question to ask you, and that is it even possible that Karius is a Liverpool player next season?
Oh, hell no.
Yes. No.
No.
Oh, yes. All right, here's what I have to say about Karius. I respect the hell out of the way he handled everything.
Yeah.
He went, I mean, he walked over after the game and he was trying to apologize to the fan. I mean, he took everything. He posted that thing on social media, acknowledging, like, you know, like, I was terrible.
Watching him bow to the, I mean, basically bow to the fans and, like, tap his chest, like, mea culpa. Yeah, no, it was, again, I think that he handled himself with aplomb, but also, what are the odds that he comes out between the sticks at Anfield and doesn't get booed?
Yeah, no, he's gone. I mean,
look, he's not going to be their number one. They're going to go after a goalkeeper, and they've been linked with Donnarumma, which would be a hell of a signing.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
They've also been linked with Gigi Buffon.
I feel like that's more plausible. I think what they should do.
I mean, that's absurd because he's so old, but at the same time, like, hey, like, United signed Van der Sar when he was very old.
Yeah. But I mean, what they should do is just open the purse strings and buy Oblak from Atletico. Just activate that clause and get him over.
The question is, how much purse strings do they have? Because they have been very active in the transfer market.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the type of goalie they need, though. That's the kind of player that would take them to the next level.
I mean, I'm sure Klopp can find a German goalkeeper. Maybe. That's fine. That's not Karius. I mean, here's the thing. Like, Klopp has been, first of all, I am very terrified of what's going on over in Merseyside and what's being built there as a United fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw, you know, on Twitter after the Champions League final, I saw all the Tottenham fans trying to get in there and being like, hey, Liverpool are really good and everything, and they're fun and exciting, but they need to win a trophy to justify, you know, they need to actually start winning trophies, otherwise it's all for naught. And I was like, and actually someone on ESPN wrote that article, like, Liverpool needs to, like, win a trophy to, like, be like, oh, the Klopp era is working. And I'm like, no, it's, like, this is a completely different scenario. Like, Tottenham are not a historically great club. They're a historic club, but not historically great. Liverpool are the second most successful club in England.
Mm-hmm.
They're the most successful English club in Europe. And, like, they don't need to do things to get players to be coming in. Like, they don't need, you know, players are more willing to come in to Liverpool before they're going to be more willing to come into Tottenham. But the fact of the matter is, right now, players are lining up to sign for Liverpool. And Tottenham cannot say that, and Manchester United cannot say that, and Arsenal can't say that, and Chelsea can't say that. I mean, Jurgen Klopp decides that he wants somebody right now, they're in. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but I think Oblak would be a great, great signing for them. I also read that they might go after Alisson from Roma. Also, would be a very good signing.
Look, anybody's better than Karius and Mignolet. Yeah. Like, no one ever thought Karius was a number one. Everybody, you know, whenever Karius starts, people go, well, he's better than Mignolet. No one ever thought, you know, it's kind of like that when De Gea first started at United and he wasn't good, and it was like De Gea or Anders Lindegaard, and it was just like, yeah, well, you know, I guess for whoever, until De Gea actually, like, really made the jump, and then it was like a joke to see Lindegaard.
Yes. But we should also say that Liverpool, I mean, they already have a done deal with Naby Keita. And now
they have a whole new midfield.
And now they sound Fabinho.
And they have a whole new midfield.
That is.
They need one more forward that could play in all three places.
Yeah, I read that they might go after Nabil Fekir from Lyon.
Oh, no, they
are 100% going after him, and they'll get him.
So, yeah, Liverpool, I mean, get a world-class goalie between the sticks there, and they're going to be a very dangerous team.
They're already going to be a dangerous team, and they are looking for, like, another central defender. They are, like, they're consistency away from running away with second place, and it's only a matter of, does Manchester City come back to earth? If Manchester City comes back to earth, Liverpool can very well challenge for the title next year. If they don't come back to earth, then they're going to run away with the league again. And that's also possible because Pep has kind of turned this league into the Bundesliga.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on.
And the relegation battle has turned this into the Bundesliga.
Okay, let's head over to the promotion playoffs. We'll say congratulations to Fulham. They're back in the Premier League after beating Aston Villa 1-0 in the promotion playoffs final at Wembley. Tom Kearney with the lone goal in the game. It was a little bit of a interesting game towards the end there when Dennis Odoi got sent off for Fulham with 20 minutes to go, and Aston Villa really pushed forward, but they were unable to score. John Terry cried, and Elliot laughed.
Well, I heard a little chuckle from Paulie there too. I mean, speaking of villains, like, he's certainly the lesser of the two between him and Sergio Ramos. Well, certainly, probably. I don't know. He did cuckold one of his best friends. But, you know, anytime he is sad, I am happy. I think that's more or less fair to say.
Yeah, so Fulham back here along with Wolves and Cardiff.
And I'm happy for Fulham themselves, right? It's not just John Terry Schadenfreude, right? Like, Fulham had been down much longer. They were due to lose out, to lose their parachute payments beginning next season. They're a team with a phenomenal stadium, as Paulie has experienced firsthand. And they have a long history of, you know, giving a shot at the top level to U.S. players. Yeah. Happy to see the Cottagers back.
Okay, so Pulisic to Fulham. There we go.
There we go. He's going to a bit north in London is where he's going to be. Yeah. They're not going to be in Wembley next year, so he's actually going to be further east. Because as West London as Fulham is, and it's freaking west, little known fact is Wembley's actually further west than Craven Cottage. But White Hart Lane is further back east of it.
Okay,
and that's where Christian Pulisic will be playing next year.
Quick thing here. I mean, do you guys like the playoff format?
The championship?
Yeah.
It's amazing. Okay. I love it.
I mean, as long as you don't Huddersfield yourself through it, like, yeah. And as long as, like, ESPN lets us watch it, like, which don't, so.
Yeah.
That's only $5 a month. It's not that bad. Although, the big difference
bad
is
bad timing, though.
That's true. But, like, I'm an MLS supporter, and ESPN Plus includes all of the MLS matches. And I'm like, oh, that's cheaper than Direct Kick used to be. Sign me up.
I got into it, here's the thing though, like, ESPN Plus, you're getting all this stuff that used to be available for free. Like, I'm probably going to have to buy it next year because they're going to put the League Cup on it next year. And, God forbid I miss a match, but, I mean, come on, assholes. Like, yeah,
it's all the stuff that was all free on ESPN3.
I mean, right, Disney is horrible. There's no question about that.
At least NBC Sports Gold, like, they have other programming, though, admittedly, that's weird because NBC Sports Gold still releases programming every day on their platform, but the subscription period is from August to May, so like you can't actually watch it.
That is bizarre.
Yeah, and they're like, "Oh, your subscription will automatically renew at the start of the next period," and it's like, "Okay, but so like next season, like it'll automatically renew, but like why can't I watch replays and stuff between May and August?"
Yeah, I mean, you want to see that, you know, Huddersfield, West Brom.
Dude, no, they put up like all these different goals of the season years.
Oh, okay, all that good stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's always fun. Yeah, I mean, one thing, you know, this is sidetracked back to the World Cup a little bit, but the Swedish television, state-run, you know, back home for me, they put up all the world.
Everything is state run in Sweden, so you don't have to classify that.
Not all of it. But they put up
my dinner, state run.
Yeah,
was meatballs and
lingonberries. There you go. But they put up all the World Cup. Those looking back at the World Cup. What do you call them? The
retrospective.
Yeah.
I don't know because we don't actually get those in America. So
okay,
I don't know.
So it's like a retrospective documentary type thing where they look through all the, I mean, and that was when they were made too. They're just replaying them, which is awesome. So I've been watching a couple of those. 94 one, obviously the best one when it was here in the US, and Sweden came in third. So yeah, I mean, we want more unique programming and don't put it behind a another paywall, please. How about that? Yeah, we'll see what happens with Aston Villa. John Terry might have played his last game. We'll see. I think Jack Grealish had a very good game. I think
he's rumored to go to United, which is a joke.
Yeah, well, that would.
I think he would do well in the Premier League. I'm not sure that he should go to United.
He would too. He would. Yeah, if I were Scott McTominay, I'd be worried.
Yeah. So.
Good. I need Scott McTominay. Like, there's no tomorrow. I need it so badly for him to show up to preseason training with the tattoo.
Oh my god. Yeah. Okay, quick. U.S. men's national team. They had the game against Bolivia, 3-0 win. Zimmerman's Sargent? Yeah, sure.
Sargent with a goal that would make Karius proud.
Yeah.
No, Sargent had to make a play to bring that ball down. It was
more difficult than Benzema's goal. Yeah.
It was not as bad. It was a bad play, but yeah, he had to bring that ball down. But yeah, no, the US looked exciting and it was fun, and it was like, hey, these are the players that we've been talking about for 2 years. So like, we've known they've existed for 2 years, and yet a year ago you refused to even give them a look, and look at what happened.
Yeah, Timothy Viala with a goal as well. So
also, what does it take to get Matt Miazga and Cameron Carter-Vickers to start together?
I don't know.
Like, what do we have to do to do that?
Like, I get it that we don't see the training ground, but it's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the U.S. has been pumping Matt Miazga like there's no tomorrow for the last 4 weeks. Like, hey, he's the captain of Vietnamese again, and they just won the cup, and you know, they just won. They made it into the Europa League, and Miazga was the captain, and it's like, yeah, we get it. Cool, he's playing 90 minutes. You also hired a coach that said, oh, I don't care if he's playing 90 minutes in the Dutch league. He's not playing 90 minutes. Like, he's not playing for Chelsea, which means he's not playing. And I'd rather take these MLS guys that are playing. Walker Zimmerman is like, ugh.
He's like, ugh. Okay.
I just think Walker's like, because look, like, I mean, here's the thing. You have Miazga. You have Cameron Carter-Vickers. So those two guys they're the future. You have John Brooks, who's still not old at all. So, like, he should be there.
Yeah, I mean, that's three guys. Walker Zimmerman didn't even make a good enough impression for my home team in Gothenburg to buy him.
Right. You have what's his face? You have Eric Palmer Brown, who was the captain of, like, the U-20 World Cup team and everything.
Yep.
He signed with Manchester City. So, I'm confused about what to make of that. Like, it's like, okay, he was good enough to sign for Manchester City, but on the other hand, he's never going to play a first team game like for 3 years now until he leaves and goes somewhere small. So that's going to stunt his development.
Well, but he'll get loaned out.
You hope.
Yeah, I would think so.
You hope. They had somebody else who is pretty decent, but then you also have you have Jeff Cameron, and I do believe in the veteran presence, and I do believe Jeff Cameron should be there for a veteran presence. So it's like, to me, like, Walker Zimmerman, like, you know, you're still an MLS player, you're in that weird age range where it's just like, you know what, you missed the boat.
Yeah, we'll see. They got two more games coming up here. First on Saturday, they take on Ireland, and then the following Saturday, they play France. So, pretty interesting games, I would say.
I hope Pogba just barrels over all of them so people in America could see that he's good.
Yeah.
That seems like it's been spoken from the perspective of a few frustrated Man U bar conversations.
I'm not even excited for next season. Like, I don't even know how much energy I'll have for next year.
Yeah. The Mourinho effect, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly. One player that is not following with the team here for those two games, that's Christian Pulisic. Played against Bolivia. Looked a little bit tired.
He looked tired. It's just like, it was interesting. It was interesting, but it was also nice to see that, like, the U.S. could score goals without Pulisic being directly involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
he was also, I mean, they played like a 4-1-4-1, which Dortmund played this year, and guess what? Like, it wasn't Pulisic's best. Like, it didn't bring out the best in Pulisic for Dortmund, and it didn't bring out the best for him in the U.S. I don't really get why they sent him home. I think it's dumb. As I've said many times before, like, the more games he plays with players that you know are going to be involved, like Tim Weah, yeah. And
like, why the hell else are you Weston, playing friendlies to begin with? And besides Weston, obviously money, but
yeah. Right, and Weston McKennie. The more games he plays, I understand, like, you still don't have a manager, so who knows what's going to happen, but the more games you play with them, the better your on-field communication and on-field understanding will be, and the new manager can look at these games on film and be like, okay, like, they did that and that worked, or they did that and that didn't work, so yeah. Here's how I can use these three players or something. But ultimately, like, people right now are saying, okay, like, you know, he played a really long season, he deserves a break. Cool, dude. Like, what if we had made the World Cup? Would we say he deserves a break?
Nope.
We would say, hey, cool, you played a really long season, now carry us through the next month. So yeah. And then when he failed to do that, either because we didn't make it out of the group or because we lost in the round of 16 again, but ultimately because we weren't going to win the World Cup, like, when he failed, you'd say, like, wow, he looked tired, and maybe it's because he played a really long season, and it's like, maybe because he's 19 years old. So this would have been the perfect opportunity to say, hey, you played a really long season, and let's be honest, if we were looking at a World Cup year, like, we would still play, and we would play three friendlies before the World Cup. So let's say the first one already happened, we would still be playing these next two friendlies, and then you'd play at least three group games. So this would have been the perfect opportunity to say, hey, playing these friendlies, which aren't as, you know, intense as a World Cup, but, like, at least you played in three more games into June, and it would just help stretch him out, you know, for the later, for the, like, when things come up later.
Yeah. So, before we end here, do you think he's going to be at Dortmund next season?
No.
I'm not. Maybe this is partially my own emotional resistance to it. I'm not totally sold that he's going to Tottenham, but he's definitely leaving Dortmund. And I admit that, you know, Tottenham is a comparatively logical place.
I'm on the fence just because I think he does love Dortmund. I think he loves the city. I think he loves the club. But I think he knows, you know, the turmoil at this club. The club is trending downward. They're going back into not where the club wants to be.
Well, and yeah. I mean,
it's what Jurgen Klopp built there. They lived off that for another 2-3 years. They can't live up. Like, it's over. It's gone.
Well, here's the thing, though, is that I don't think that, speaking of clubs trending in a certain direction and one that we've talked about adding to that front three, maybe Fekir is their first choice, but I would not be totally shocked to see him go to Liverpool. I know that he grew up a Man United fan as a kid, but, like, it would make sense, and especially if Liverpool, I would say those are the two most likely destinations in my mind.
I wouldn't be either, but I think Tottenham have their eye on him more. And I think Tottenham will move quickly to get this deal done because of the fact that, like, you do it now because he, amongst nobody else on your team, is going to be around for the preseason because they're all playing the World Cup. So he'll be there for the preseason. You're touring America. That's a very marketable thing. And yeah. I think Tottenham will go in and get this deal done sooner rather than later.
Okay, with that, we'll say goodbye for this time. As always, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm Seb Noor, and Paulie is Pete Questel. Elliot is Keats Was Better. Next episode, of course, more World Cup focus. Until then, have a good one. Bye-bye.
How on earth did that happen?